Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the Dáil is back today, and here to tell us what's on the agenda is Jack Horgan-Jones, who's political correspondent with the Irish Times. Jack, you're very welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Claire.
I was reading your colleague Pat Leahy's piece in the Irish Times today, and there was a really telling line in there from an unnamed TD where this person says, "I'd rather be in the constituency knocking on doors than in Leinster House." Is that the case across the board, that there's a lot of business to be done, important work to be done in this new session, but people are a bit distracted?
Yeah, the mind is very much elsewhere and it is very much on the doors. And I think, in fairness, that was probably the case over the summer. The summer kind of moved in two directions. On the one hand, people were genuinely trying to recharge because they felt that the election was coming in a matter of months after the Dáil reconvenes today. But also there was this competing tension and this competing pressure to get out there and be in front of voters and be on the doors. And I think that you saw that playing out in different ways over the summer. One example would be the degree to which Sinn Féin were trying to own news cycles over the summer, which is something that they generally do and something that they're quite good at. But they had this big strategic reset where they had a series of policies around immigration, housing, childcare. I think health is next week. So that's just one example of how the news agenda didn't really go quite as slack as usual. And I think that that comes back to the point that Pat makes in the column today, that, you know, everything, even though there's a bunch of stuff to be getting on with that isn't election related, everything is viewed through the prism. Everything is refracted through the prism of the budget election cycle that we're now in.
And the possibility that there may be an election in November. But, I mean, you said that there is an awful lot of important work and legislation that needs to happen in the short term. So take us through what's top of the list.
Yeah. So the priority legislation for this autumn is going to be published this afternoon, and there's a bunch of stuff on there that's been knocking around, and this is kind of on the A-list, so to speak. So there's the serious illness maternity cover legislation, there's assisted human reproduction legislation coming through, there's the recording devices bill, which is to do with allowing the Gardaí to search using facial recognition technology, there's legislation around vaping and the issue of people who are children aging out of sentencing, so basically turning 18 during a judicial process. There's a bunch of other stuff that isn't on the priority list but has been knocking around for ages and that they do want to get done. So the planning bill, which is something you've talked about many times, big enormous piece of legislation, landmark for the government. They really want to get that done. The amendments to the hate crime legislation, the defamation bill, gambling legislation, moving the age of smoking to 21, mental health bill. So there's a bunch of legislative stuff to be getting on with that obviously would dissipate if the Dáil fell. And some of which is kind of politically important. There's an overriding point around the defamation bill that, you know, there's a suspicion that the government want to use that to target Sinn Féin, who have been not behind the door and taking libel actions and so on. And then there's a bunch of other stuff as well that isn't quite legislative or is kind of quasi-legislative and is political. So Dara Brian is going to introduce defects legislation to address the issue of historical defects in apartment blocks. Like, he's only introducing the heads of bill now. So that's a long process that has to be gone through. Open question of whether they have enough time. And then there's political stuff that's come up over the summer. Trailing legs, policy issues to address. So, for example, the Occupied Territories Bill. We had that ICJ ruling over the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
About the illegality of Israeli settlements. Does that change the framing on the Occupied Territories Bill? The Apple billions, obviously, the story of last week and will be one of the ongoing stories over the weeks ahead. The scoping investigation into historical sex abuse in schools, the issue of the Commission of Investigation into that and the associated issue of redress. The Northern Ireland interstate case on the Legacy Bill. Reforms to refugee entitlements. There's a big report done on that. So I suppose that the overall point is that while the political cycle is coming to a finish at some point in the next 3 or 4 months, the business of government doesn't really end in many ways. It just kind of stops when the political lifespan runs out.
And flowing on from the budget then, you'll have the finance bill and the social protection bill. Will it be an indication, if we see those being guillotined, being rushed through, that gives us a good indication as to when the election might be, right?
That is the big signifier of whether I think we're going in November or not, because obviously these things are, they give legal effect basically to the budget. The budget is a political statement and this gives legislative effect to it. And they usually take a period of quite a while. You know, they're introduced in a leisurely enough way and they work their way through over the kind of Christmas New Year period. If you see that coming through quickly, if you see a shortened version of the finance bill and the welfare bill, as people have been talking about, just, you know, last year's bill with the numbers changed, that'll be a big indication that they want to give legislative effect to the budget and go to the country. Okay. So that's one of the main things.
There's a debate today, isn't there, on the Apple money?
There is,
on the 14 billion. But we know it won't be included in budget 2025. But, you know, its very existence does provide the backdrop to all of the debates and this discussion that will happen in advance of any general election, whenever that will be.
Yeah, and it's already being heavily politicised, and you already see parties going out and saying it should be used for X or Y. Sinn Féin were out earlier on this week at their think-in saying that it should be, that a billion of it anyway should be put into a dedicated fund for underprivileged communities. The Social Democrats were saying it should be used for housing and other issues yesterday. So there is this kind of like it's on the pitch, and what you want to do with it, you know, and what you can imagine doing with it is a kind of item of political significance and interest. Concurrently to those more visible processes, there's a discussion going on in government as to whether and how they can kind of sequester some of that in a kind of quasi-allocation process, which is a bit weird, because obviously this government is not going to make the spending decision, but certainly the feeling among some cabinet ministers is they should say, look, it's for these three or four areas, and here's maybe a couple of projects that fall underneath that umbrella that we can say, yeah, we would, or this money should be allocated, and then as more come through planning and are costed, you can add to that list. Sinn Féin certainly earlier on this week were saying that the current government can't and shouldn't presume to allocate that. Yeah. And there is a question over whether, you know, any government decision taken by this government would actually be binding on the next one.
Yeah, because Jack Chambers has this plan, hasn't he, to set up a framework to consider where this money should go. And Sinn Féin have very clearly said that's not your job to do that. You don't even have the money yet. It's not in the state's accounts, so it should be left to the next government. But this government is forging ahead with that. But as you say, how concrete can those plans be? Because it seems to me that they could be undone by the next government, no?
I would share that view. You know, that you know, anything direction of travel wise that was arrived at by this government would only be a direction of travel. But it would allow them, I suppose, to them being this government, to plant a flag in it to an extent and say, look, this is the best sober-minded analysis we have now as to what we should do with it. And then if a following government that wasn't comprised of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael plus whoever else was to undo that, that then becomes a political charge, you know, and you would then expect them to say this is adding to inflationary pressures and you're not using it for our intended purpose, which in the round seems to be address problems that are storing themselves up for the future, and also address problems that the multinational sector has very clearly identified as a barrier to future growth.
Listen, just to talk about the themes then that are likely to dominate over this next term, like that central bank report this morning on housing, the figures are very stark, aren't they? 52,000 homes over the next 20 years, 70,000 if you want to get it done in 10 years. I mean, it's mind-blowing to serve the need there. Housing, though, and health have always been up there at the top of the agenda, but childcare has really emerged in the last few weeks as one that all of the parties across the board are saying, yep, that's the one we're going to target.
Very much so. And several of the parties kind of making moves towards this idea of a more publicly funded or publicly owned model of childcare. So moving away from the current structure, which is effectively, you know, it is largely privatised, but with significant subventions from the state through ECHI funding and also through core funding. And then also, obviously, parental fees playing a big part in the viability of those businesses. So, look, I think that's a thing that a lot of people could get behind as a principle, but it's very complex to unpick exactly how that might work. There's a lot of ground to cover. For example, if a childcare operator, and we know that some childcare operators are genuinely pushed to the pin of their collar, particularly those mid-sized ones, ones, perhaps those ones outside areas of you know, outside urban areas, if they were to come along and say, okay, great, that sounds like a good idea, state, come on and buy me out, make me a state employee, give me a pension, give me benefits, give me paid holidays, and you can run the business. I mean, that is something that I would imagine would give the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform a serious case of the collywobbles. So there's a huge amount to unpick underneath this broad strokes idea that all different parts of the political spectrum seem to be embracing. And as we know with public policy in Ireland, these things can take an awfully long time. So the very cynical and sceptical side of me says that, you know, it won't be me or my children who benefit from it. It might be their children.
But it is very clear that the political parties have decided that this is a vote winner.
Yes, and I think that the first signal that they got on that was probably around when they started increasing core funding to bring down the level of childcare fees paid by parents. I mean, that was worth multiples of what any tax cut would ever be worth to households up and down the country. And, you know, it's almost weird that they were surprised by this because it makes such straightforward sense.
Yeah.
But I think that they do see that kind of voter, coping class, middle Ireland, you know, not necessarily, certainly not on the breadline, but like, you know, wouldn't be arriving at payday with a huge amount in their in their bank account, you know?
Yeah.
They're in play, and they're the ones who I think are being asked to either buy into the promise of the current government, which is that, yes, chronic issues remain, but we are making progress on it, or the pitch from the opposition, which is very much, the system is fundamentally broken and needs a more substantial overhaul in order to be and needs a more radical change.
Okay, and the other thing we're going to see in the next couple of weeks is the Sinn Féin alternative budget. Have you any sense of what might be in there? Any surprises? Because we know about their housing policy in great detail.
Well, I'm sure they will have some sort of interesting bauble in there. What I'll be looking quite closely at is how they intend to tax wealth, which is something that they've been very consistent on across all their alternative budgets. Sinn Féin have put a big press on in the last little while, in the last few years, to kind of make them a bit less threatening, perhaps, in the eyes of you know, the FDI sector or a big business, and say, look, we're not about shaking up the economic model. We want to just split it more fairly. But within that, I think there's questions around wealth tax and, you know, things like employers, PRSI. But I also think that while we do know a lot about those policies that they rolled out over the summer, it would be very interesting to see exactly the fine financial structure of how they would pay for them. It's something that Piers Doherty is said to put a lot of emphasis on, apparently quite detail orientated around the whole process of the alternative budget, of the kind of shadow budget, which,
yeah,
I know can be frustrating, I think, at times for some Sinn Féin front bench spokespersons. But I think that he sees it as a big part of their broader credibility, their economic standing and so on. And, you know, economic standing and credibility is going to be part of this election. I don't think it'll be to the fore, but I think that, you know, being a safe pair of hands in the economy, which is going relatively well, certainly when compared to other jurisdictions, and not messing that up if you are given the reins of government, is going to be part of that broad strokes credibility piece that parties are going to be tested on by voters.
Jack, we leave it there for now. Thank you very much, and we look forward to the next term. Thank you very much. That is Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Now, coming up next on the programme, are you washing your clothes too often? Yes, say our next guests. Find out why.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.